Yes, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. You believe that tonight? We have been made more than conquerors. We're conquerors tonight. We walk sometimes like we're defeated, but really we're conquerors. If we could see our enemy tonight, how scared he is of you, you'd look at him in a different light. And I would too. We're serving an awesome God. We're serving an all-powerful Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight. You love him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good to us. And I'll tell you this, the old devil, he will do everything he can to aggravate you to death. He's a very good adversary. But I want him to know something tonight. And I want you to let him know with me that his days are numbered. His aggravating times is just about over with. Because it's just about going home time for us. Are you glad about it tonight? Are you glad about it tonight? Amen. Let's sing it again with all of our heart. Not gonna be, but we are now more than conquerors. The scripture says we are now the sons of God. Do you believe that with all your heart? Yes, we've been made more than conquerors. I'm an overcomer in this life. Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus. Say it for me one time. Praise the Lord. You know, the maniac that was going to just really do bad things to Brother Branham that night. Brother Branham was not a match for that maniac. But the God he served was more than a match for that maniac. The God you and I are serving tonight is more than a match for anything we face in this life. You believe that tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand and say, we're serving an awesome God. Play it some more, brethren, if you will, tonight. Play with all your heart. Sing it for me one time. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. So Samuel, I love you, buddy. God bless you, buddy. I love you. Brother Bert, God bless you. I love you, buddy. Brother Rob, I love you, buddy. God bless you. Brother Wade, I love you, buddy. God bless you, buddy. I love you. God bless you. I love you, brother. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory. Say it for me one time, buddy. God bless you for the race. Love you, buddy.
Oh, we've been faithful that
Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to look at our request tonight. I'm going to let you be seated while we do that. Brother Samuel Shuffler wants to just tell you tonight how much he loves you. And he says that over the years, I know I've caused a lot of problems, done a lot of different things. Welcome to Happy Valley, Brother Samuel. Because I have too, buddy. I'm thinking about trying to change the shoe leather that I'm wearing, because what I've beat my shoes so much, I stuck my foot in my mouth so many times, this leather is wearing me out. I'm going to see if I can't maybe get a crepe bottom shoe or something. Brother Samuel, we love you. God bless you, buddy. We're all struggling. We're all fighting for our life, but there's one thing about it. The battle's not mine. I'm just who it's being fought in, but the battle is the Lord's, and He will win. Somebody say praise the Lord. We love Brother Samuel tonight. Sister Faith Green, feeling very poorly, loves you all and appreciates your prayers. Going down to visit her mother next week, so let's remember her as we pray tonight. Sister Sherry Wiggins, actually I've got a couple requests in regard to this. I want to pray for Steve and Laura Martin from Hot Springs, Arkansas. They lost their little 4-year-old son in a drowning accident yesterday evening. They are so devastated and really need peace and comfort from the Lord. We just want to remember that family, that God would certainly just wrap His arms around them and be with them during this terrible time in their life that they're having to go through. Sister Connie Cook, not feeling well tonight. She asked for prayer. We'll commit that to the Lord. This is a pastor, Brother Elliot Nkomo. Thank you, brother. From South Africa, the son of Brother Nkomo was brutally murdered. And they're asking that we would remember the family and the church during this time, that the Lord would just certainly be with those folks. And we know that only to know what they're going through, you'd have to walk in their shoes. But we can certainly ask the Lord to help them, and we want to do that tonight. So let's just pray on that behalf tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of them. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we're going to stand tonight, if you will. And we've got another conqueror in the house tonight with us. Brother Bill Yance. Brother Bill Yance is here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Satan would have loved to have stilled his voice. Satan would have loved to have done away with him, but Brother Bill is a victorious. He is a victorious soldier of the cross tonight. Brother Bill, come. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. Give him a nice hand as he comes tonight. Amen. Last time he was here, he was on a walker, but now he's walking on his own tonight. He's in a wheelchair, actually, wasn't he? In a wheelchair when he's here. Hey, you're looking pretty good. Good to see you, buddy.
For a yacht, I guess that's a good word. I hope I wouldn't be out of order, but since I've been here, the first time I went back in the pulpit to preach, God healed my legs, and I put my wheelchair and my walkers and my canes away. And so, on my 90th day without food, heaven's buffet was spread in front of me with applesauce and whipped potatoes. And so today, for the first time in 90 days, I got to go out and I went to Shoney's and eat some gravy and grits and apple butter and eggs. So God healed my swallowing. I told you when I was here last time I'd be back, didn't I? So I'm here. And so I'll never be able to repay Brother Donnie and all you people all the good things you've done for me. Cards and monies and prayers most of all. But see, if you know what to pray for, you can go right to it. They found a chronic infection in my sinus now. And I didn't know it. That's all this spitting and all this stuff for 3 months. And so it was when I was in the hospital I picked this up. So that's what's affecting my... I don't like to preach or talk through my nose, you know, but if that's what I have to do to whoop the devil, I'll do it. But somebody needs help tonight. Let's go to God. Ask him. Kind Master, you're the mighty God. You're the everlasting Father. And you're the fixer of all problems. You're the great divine physician to our bodies. And as we hear Brother Louis calling these names off, God, our heart goes out to these people. People lost their child and others murders. This is the bride of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for this blessing's come to my life. People look at it as a horrible thing, but it's a blessing. And as I've told everybody along the way, when God brings a blessing like this to you just around the corner, there's another assignment he has ready for you. So we wait on you, Lord. And I pray that you'll give us that 100% healing that you promised us through prophecy already, that it would come. We're almost there now, God. Now would you bless our pastor, Brother Donnie, as he walks out here tonight? Let the fire of God, with a coal off of the altar, just use his lips to speak the word to the people. That our faith will be encouraged and we'll be strengthened, encouraged, God. Come to us now and manifest yourself in the remainder part of this service. We love you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Lord, Brother Bill, God bless you. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Love her, brother, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's not nice to start off crying, but I don't care. It's all right. It's all right. There'll be a trustees meeting tonight after the service in the men's nursery, so remember that. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. All those that are streaming this service tonight, may God bless our brothers and sisters from around the world. Let's sing this song tonight. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the great unknown. Is that what you want him to do for you, to hold your hand? Let's sing about it tonight. You don't know what key we do it in? Raise it just a little bit. Raise it just a little bit. If it's too high, we'll drop it. Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low in the darkness as black as could be. And my heart felt alone, and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Raise it one more key. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the great unknown. Take my hand, oh, and let me stand where no one stands. May live in a palace so high with great riches you call my own. Oh, but I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than being alone. Let's see you now. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day. I don't care what we walk through, as long as I've got my hand at His, I'm secure. Like a king, you may live in a palace so tall, with great riches to call your own. Oh, but I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than being alone. See you now. Hold my hand, help me all the way. Every hour, every day. Here to the grave. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus just before we change the order of the service tonight. Got a real good song. Brother Brad, Sister Sarah, and Brother Chuck's going to give us here just in a few minutes. But let's sing this song. God is good all the time. Do you believe that with all your heart? Let's sing about it tonight if you will. Yes, God is good. I know He is.
Once in a while, he's good all the time. Oh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing the chorus of He's in the House. Brother Brad, you and Sister Sarah and Brother Chuck, come onto the platform. Be getting ready to sing. He's in the house tonight, children. He's here to do something for us. How many of you need something tonight? How many of you need a touch from Him tonight? I hope it rains on your soul here tonight. You can have what you want if you want it. He's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be.
Shines in me for all the world to see.
Was raised on the old hymns, John 3:16, stained glass pictures of faith, a shepherd and a giant, Daniel and the lions, three Hebrew boys in the flames. A coat of many colors, and walls falling down, and the Red Sea becoming dry ground. I believe every line, every word. I believe every story I've heard, written on the pages, and it's the truth of the ages, and it's changing me. To wise men and angels, blind Bartimaeus, a thief and a traitor's kiss, a walk on the water, Jairus' daughter, five loaves and two little fish, alone garden where Jesus prayed, and Sunday morning when that stone rolled away. And I believe every line, every word. I believe every story I've heard, written on the pages, and it's the truth through the ages, and it's changing me. I believe in a message of mercy and grace, because of a Savior who died in my place. Changing me.
Appreciate the song tonight. Let's stand as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Bring us the word of the Lord. You want to pray for your pastor tonight? God bless you. Brother Harry, lead us in that. I'm amazed that you love me.
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed.
You glad for that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did I see Brother Bill? Yeah, there he is. God bless you, buddy. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Thank God for a walking miracle tonight. Don't you? Amen. Let me put these prayer calls in here so I don't forget it. Let's turn to the book of Galatians, if you would. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Let me appreciate the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Let me appreciate the season, the time we're in.
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful hour to be living for the Lord, to be a Christian.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I want to speak to you tonight on worldliness in Galatia. Worldliness in Galatia. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. Now, they're not cutting their hair. Don't mention nothing about short dresses. No television. No pornography. Nothing like that. But the world has creeped into the churches of Galatia by false doctrine. Now notice, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's a bold statement now. And once wasn't enough. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Amen.
My. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We're so grateful, Heavenly Father, that the gospel is still being preached to this day. It's a miracle, really, that it started out 2,000 years ago. It went through such darkness. It went through terrible, terrible times. But Lord, to know that the true gospel is still being preached in this day, we rejoice tonight, Lord. It proves to us it could not be men that would keep it. Men would falter. Men would compromise. But it has been you, Almighty God, that have kept it. We're so grateful. Speak to us tonight, I pray, Lord, from your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. So happy to be together tonight in the presence of God. Let me give you just a little bit of background about Galatia so you can understand where they were kind of coming from. We know that whenever we're born in the natural sense of our birth path, the star we're born under, the genes that we come from, the community, the society that we're raised in, all of these things certainly have an effect on us prior to our new birth. And they also can affect us even after we're born again. The people of Galatia was an ancient territory of Central Asia Minor in present Turkey. It was named for the immigrant Gauls from Thrace who settled here and become the ruling caste in the 3rd century B.C. It was originally the home of the ancient civilization of the Hittites, but came to be occupied by Gallic Celts. In the settlement of 64 B.C., Galatia became a client state of the Roman Empire. The old constitution disappeared, and 3 chiefs were appointed, 1 for each tribe. Now, by the time that Paul is now, the gospel is broke forth, and it come from the Lord Jesus, of course, to the apostles, and they have went forth and spread the different churches in Galatia. So Galatia was like a state. It was not one particular church. It was not one city like Johnson City, but it was a state, and in that state was many different small towns and many different churches. Now, the Holy Ghost had sent Paul and the early apostles into this area by which the supernatural power of God was displaying the gospel. But as always, the devil follows right behind the truth. The devil is never the original missionary. But he comes behind where God sent missionaries go. Now you realize this is not just so in a church, but it's so in a move of God. It's so in a family of God. You watch a family go to get and commit their life to God, and you watch everything in the world go to happen in that family. And if it's not a real experience with God that they have, they'll come all to pieces and it'll pull them away into a cold state, and then they'll backslide and get away from God. Don't think nothing's out of Cater. That's the way it's supposed to go.
If the devil ain't fighting you, I wonder if you're not on his side. But you realize whenever you're on his side, he knows you. If you're against him, he knows you as well. Now, what had happened here at the church at Galatia, now this was, according to historians, in the way that they timed this, from 2 to 5 years after the Spirit of God had moved among them and they'd seen the supernatural and God had confirmed the word with signs and wonders following, and the devil had now changed his tactic and pulled many of these people. Now, remember, many of them was a mixture actually of Jews and of these Gauls. The Gauls was the ones who had made it up. But it was the Gauls and the Jews. And you imagine what kind of a conglomeration of a church that they would have. They would have some of the Gauls worship Zeus. They worship Hermes. They worship different types of gods, different types of things of idolatry. And then also in Galatia, you had Jews. So they were so contrary one to the other. But yet they were being called by the gospel, and some of them were actually being born again. But yet still the influence of what they'd had before they'd come to the truth was still affecting them. Now there were some that could not let go. Them Jews absolutely could not let go of the law. They simply could not do it. So they just had a real hard time in believing that Jesus was the only thing you needed to make salvation. Right. So whenever they themselves begin to hear the gospel, especially from the Jews, Paul and Peter and them, they really struggle with it. Now notice, look at Paul in verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed. Look at his word now. I marvel. I am overwhelmed. I am so surprised that you are pulled away from this gospel. My, it kind of makes you realize we're living in the same marveling time whenever folks are leaving and going here and going to the world and going whatever. And remember, friend, this is not the first time this has happened. It's happened before. Now, if they left Paul and Paul was still there, it was not years after he'd gone, the way many are pulling away from the message now. And many of them that are pulling away, it was not people that sat under Brother M's meetings anyway. It was not people who ever had an influence of being around that man, and they certainly don't have a revelation of what it is, but they're making their opinion from just reading books. And this is why I encourage you, don't just read the message. Listen to the tapes. Listen to this man talk. Because if you just read the books, you'll read the messages through your perception, through your persona. But if you'll listen to the tapes, you'll hear how he says it. You'll hear the humility. You'll hear how he projects Christ. You'll hear all of that first-handed on the tapes. Oh, Brother Donnelly, I've been in the message for so many years. I don't need to listen to him. You need to listen to him now more than you did when you first come in. Now Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon. He was so deeply affected and amazed that such a thing could happen. He was just overwhelmed that these people had become so shaken. Now, you know, it's amazing that it is not worldliness in the sense of makeup and bobbed hair and that sort of thing that is destroying the churches of Galatia. But it is worldliness in another way, because Satan is the author of confusion. Satan is the author of all of this trouble. Whenever a trouble breaks out in a church and the church splits and this and that and the other, and you get some long-term person there trying to cause trouble, that's not the Holy Ghost doing that. It can't be. God is not the author of confusion. God don't move that way. But it is worldliness, but we don't call it worldliness. Why? Why don't we? It has to be either God or the devil won. Now watch, they had embraced the gospel. They had accepted Paul as if though this man was an angel. He even goes on to say, you accepted me as if I was Jesus Christ. Times don't change today. Mama. Notice this. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. Now notice this. It's not been 15 years. It's not been 20 years or 30 years. And it's another generation or the children of those who were born under the ministry of Paul. But these same people, my, they received him and they loved him and they stood up. Oh, Paul, we love you, brother. Oh, they felt so sorry for him, and they see his eyes water because of meeting the pillar of fire. And he tried to ride and he said, you ready? read my letters, the big old large letters, and he couldn't hardly see, and the pus would run out of him, and his eyes would be all swelled, and they'd look at him and said, "That man of God, I wish I could take my eyes out and give them to him." Now they kind of wish they'd pull his out. And his tongue and his heart and everything else. You know why? They fell out of love with him. You fall out of love with God's people. Whether or not you know it, you fell out of love with God. Amen. You can't love God and hate your brother. Amen. If you hate your brother, even though you won't admit to it, in reality, you hate God. Amen. Oh, preach, Brother Donnie. You cannot hate God's children and love God. If you hate God's children, you hate God. I don't care how much you say you love him. Well, don't get quiet on me now. Now watch then. Paul said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God." Now this word here that he used, these two words coupled together, "soon removed," it implies a foreign influence that had been used to turn away their minds from the truth. The word here used, metatekisk, means to transpose, put in another place, then to go over from one party to another. Galatian believers were in the process of turning. Look at this word that he used, deserting, metathesa, as in a military desertion from the truth. So here they are. They are actually deserting and walking away from the truth. No, it's not that they're changing from one message church to go to another. Say, you know what? I like a smaller church better. I believe I'd be more comfortable. Paul is not rebuking them because they're going to another message church. And they're not saying, you know what? I believe I could be fed better than Brother Bill's church instead of Brother Donnie. He ain't tearing them and raking them over the coals because of that. But he's saying, you're not leaving my church. You're leaving God. You're leaving the words. You're letting these men come in and introduce something to you that is contrary to the original gospel. But yet every one of them probably had long dresses and the men did not look like the world. But worldliness was creeping in the churches of Galatia in the form of false doctrine. God keep Happy Valley. God keep us. Oh my. Now notice, so part of the apostle's amazement, you can imagine he was overwhelmed. He was so overwhelmed that they were leaving so soon, overwhelmed, that they were leaving a truth which was not just in theory, friend. Paul did not come and hand them a bunch of quotes and a bunch of books and just come by mental conception and give them nothing, no manifestation. They had seen the power of God, unbelievable, the things that God had done. And what was these other guys doing? Nothing. It amazes me how you'll let them get by with it. It amazes me how a long-tongued person can get in the message or get in a church and cause so much trouble and not have one evidence of a supernatural vindication in their life. And you sheep will listen to them. Praise the Lord. My. Now, Paul said, I'm not mad at you all. I'm not picking on you because you've left me and you're going over to Peter or you're going. He said, but don't you see what you're doing? You are letting these people, you're letting these people lead you into this mixture of no longer just believing Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Let me make this statement right up front. Now, what they were doing, they were allowing the Judaizers to come in among them. And the Judaizers was introducing the law, the Torah. And they were telling them, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the Sabbath. You've got to keep this day and this holy day and this day and that day and that day. Or you can't even be saved. Now let me tell you this and listen carefully. You do not have to accept Brother Branham as a prophet to be saved. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior to be saved. You do not accept William Branham as a prophet to find salvation. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, if you go in a rapture, then that's a total different thing. But salvation is not Jesus and Brother Branham. Salvation is not Jesus and Happy Valley. Salvation is Jesus Christ alone. It's not Jesus and works. It's not Jesus and how long you pray. It is Jesus Christ alone. That's why there'll be folks saved that know nothing about this message. Some of the message folks are just as bad as the Judaizers were. Come on. Jesus didn't need no help. It wasn't Jesus on one side and Brother Branham on the other of the cross. It was Jesus. He said, I have tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone. Moses wasn't with him. John wasn't with him. Your pastor wasn't with him. He was by himself. Now watch what these people were doing though. My, they were so sincere and they loved God and they were religious. Acts 15:24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment. Chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Now this is one true identification of a liar and a false prophet. To draw away disciples after them. Whether it's a website prophet or a preaching prophet or whatever kind of preacher it is, it's always to draw disciples after themselves. Are they leading people to the Lord Jesus? Do they have the power of new birth to lead children of God to new birth? Are the signs following? They cast out devils? Come on now, don't get quiet. Wow. Now notice what the gospel had done under the administration of the apostles. It had led them, according to what Paul said in chapter 1, verse 6 again, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God. What a position a preacher has, a God-called man, to call people into the grace of Christ. Now, they had actually been called into this by one that God had chosen, representation on the earth, and God had given the gospel unto these men. And the gospel, of course, is good news. And Paul said, you have been called into Christ, and then these men have come around and told you they have a furtherance of that gospel. He calls it another gospel, but it's a gospel which destroys grace. I don't know about you, I still need grace. Grace don't mean I sin and I do what I want to do. No, but whenever I fall flat on my face, grace is there to pick me back up again. Legalism would never let me get at, Brother Dan. Legalism would never, I'd never be able to. Can't you see why? Those that are legalists around the message, oh my, why you can never be able to produce rapturing faith with legalism? You can't, because you're constantly beat down, beat down, beat down. You never rise above your mistakes. That's why Satan loves legalism. He loves legalism because he knows no human can ever live a perfect, flawless life. So if he can get your mind under legalism and then make mistakes, 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 you'll be so discouraged. You say, I can't even do it no more. I can't even try no more. They were guilty of worldliness. The world. All the women sitting there, no makeup on. They didn't have their hair all fixed up the way the modern hairdos were of that day. My, they probably look like message people. Look in verse 7. Which is not another, he said, they preach another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. What are they bringing? Is it a joyful sound? Is it something to set the captive free? Praise the Lord. That's what the gospel is. Good news. It's not good news. You can go back to the world. Good news. God don't care what you look like no more. That's not good news. That's news from Sodom. It amazes me that folks on the dress thing, you know, around the message, they say, well, it don't matter what clothes, it don't matter what you look like. If it don't, when people backslide and get out of church and leave this message, why is one of the first things they do change your clothes? If clothes ain't no big deal, and it don't make no difference, can't you be just as well backslid in a skirt as you could a pair of tight breeches? Can't you be backslid with long hair as well as you can a boyish haircut? If clothes don't matter, why do they take them off? Because they know it does matter. They know it's an identity. It is a mark. Oh, glory. Me and Carol went down to South Carolina last week, and I stopped at a motel to get a room. There's traffic everywhere, some kind of big ball game or something going on down there. And I checked in, and that woman said, "Are you here for the ball game?" I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "What kind of ball game is it?" And she said, "Somebody, I forget who it was, playing somebody else." And I said, "No, ma'am, I sure am. I've never enjoyed sports." And she said, "Well, you've got on that collar on your shirt, kind of a reddish color. So here I was, identified by my clothes, but I wasn't even sure what I was identified with." All I done was picked out that shirt of Carol and ironed it for me, and I put on, and yet they was looking at me, identifying me by my shirt with a certain team. Praise the Lord. So clothes do matter. Mama. The Galatians did not denounce Christianity. Or Christ. No. But they were having other things added to it that was supplementing Christianity. Now, it wasn't the original gospel that Paul brought. But these guys must have been so powerful in their words. Some of these people had the Holy Ghost. Well, don't sit there and look at me funny now. Watch this. He says, "There is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." The false apostles, whose names he didn't deem apparently worthy to even be called, give them credence in history, but he places them in an oblivion of darkness and leaves them under the nameless figure, but saying that they were troubling the people of God. With what? Passing out cigarettes at the church door? Passing out mini skirts to the sisters? Subverting the gospel. Friends, this is more worldly and more devastating than every mini skirt that's ever made. They were troubling the church. They were causing difficulty. They were raising disputes and questions. And all kinds of things they were getting into, and now questioning the credibility of Paul. Luther said it this way about this verse, "And would pervert the gospel of Christ, which has Christ for its author, subject, and preacher." Christ, its author, its subject, and its preacher. That's one good sign whenever people are telling you they have the gospel of Christ. See if Christ is its author, Christ is its subject, and Christ is its speaker. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the real three pulls of the true gospel. Now watch this. The doctrine of justification by his righteousness, which they sought to change, to throw into a different shape and form. Now remember Luther. The Luther, where the revival started. Your bride revival started in this man. So this man, hallelujah, God had to reveal to him not only the book of Romans, but God opened up some things in the book of Galatians as well. Why? Tied. Why? Because he himself, being a priest, come out from underneath all them Hail Marys and all that sort of stuff that was added. Can you imagine a revelation that struck this man's heart when he realized, I don't have to pray to Mary. Why would I want to pray to a secretary when I can pray to the main man? Why would I have to buy somebody out of purgatory when there ain't no such a thing as purgatory? Why, he had been added to and added to. How Luther must have rejoiced when he saw there was salvation in Christ alone. Hallelujah to God, in Christ alone. My, said the gospel is an everlasting one. It's immovable. So there is particular doctrine if it remains, and will remain in spite of opposition to it. Thus the apostle prudently lays the blame of his Galatians removing from the gospel to another upon the false teachers, hoping he should be able to reclaim them by solid arguments and gentle methods. Amen. Typical for a Lutheran. What's his statement? Paul waged war against the false teachers. But this is why. Because he loved the truth. Now you see, this could have been taken that they had said things against Paul, and now Paul was attacking them. But Paul wasn't waging so much for his flesh. He had declared war for truth. Remember Brother Ben making that statement that wars are fought for principles? Oh my, it's hard for peacemakers to start wars. But since our Lord is multi-aspect in His characteristics, so is His bride. The bride's way. Oh my, we'd much rather have peace, wouldn't we? You wish we could live at peace with all men, but sometimes you gotta start a war. Sometimes it's offensive, sometimes it's defensive. Sometimes you're just defending your ground, and there's other times you actually gotta fire the first shot. Amen. But it takes the Holy Ghost to help you know which side. Are we offense this side or defense, Lord? Do I wait for the bullet to run or go ahead and put out some snipers? And Paul had declared war. But it was not flesh battling against flesh. It was truth battling error. Mama. So they wanted to pervert the gospel. The word translated pervert means to turn about, to change into an opposite character. The word can be translated to reverse. In other words, the Judaizers had reversed the gospel. They had turned it around, taken it back into the law. You see, those that come to a new message, unless they truly get a new birth, if they don't leave it in time, they'll try to take it back to where they come from. So if they were worldly before and they don't get a new birth, guess what? They'll take it back toward worldliness. If they're cold, starchy theologian, if they don't get a birth, they'll wind up preaching exactly the same way. They don't need the anointing. They don't need the supernatural. But if they get born again, they're a complete different species. So they don't rely to their old ways. Well, I have the Presbyterian College. We done it this way. The Lutheran College. We done it that way. If they get born again, they forget the Presbyterian College. They forget the Lutheran College. Now they're called to the College of Deity. Amen. They're called to the brotherhood of Peter, James, and John. And John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus and Elijah. Let us read, if you would, again in Acts 15:1. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. So you've got to be circumcised along with receiving Christ to be saved. You hear me, church? When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. You imagine they said, what are you going to say? You call that disputing? I tell you what, the next time you and your wife get into it, try that on her. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, said that they had no small. In other words, it was a bad one. It was, I mean, the granddaddy of them all. It was a big dissension. And a big, why? Was flesh fighting flesh? No. But they was attacking that thing. It was false doctrine. Paul had preached. Peter had preached. The apostles had preached. It was accepting the Lord Jesus and His work at Calvary that made you say, not getting your foreskin circumcised. It had nothing to do with being circumcised. And that was totally contrary to the gospel they preached. And these people were coming under the auspices of this message and subverting the hearers. Worldliness. My. Well, therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem under the apostles and elders,
about this question. Oh, Lord, here we go to headquarters.
Now he says in verse 7, here which there's another, but there can be some that trouble you. The verb trouble carries with it the idea of perplexity, confusion, and unrest. No wonder Paul was anxious for his converts. My, they were torn all to pieces. These people were raising up all kinds of questions.
You realize when a Christian turns away from living by the grace of God, he is then turning to his own flesh to help him to live a victorious life. How would you like to live by your flesh and let it be your victory? Would any of you had a victorious day today if it had been by your flesh alone? What about yesterday? What about the day before? The day before? Now you see, false doctrine, of course, Satan never shows the end result. He just shows something that's sort of like a kid that can be led away by candy by a stranger. It's something that's dattling on the end of a stick or whatever more. And it shows that Satan don't waste any time by trying to come in. Now the truth had been spread. Now we looked at it last weekend how that Satan, worldliness, had moved over into the Corinthian church. But here it's from a different way. It's a different aspect. Why? These are Gauls. The most of these people are Gauls. They are not Jews. So it's rhymes in their background. You know, anybody that worships Zeus and Hermes, they're a little different anyway. That's why some of the message folks are so gullible. A lot of them are really different anyway. Well, glory. Now watch in verse 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven. I want you to notice how confident that Paul was that what he had preached was the truth. He said, if I come back and preach another gospel, don't even hear me. If I come back, if Peter come back, if Barnabas come back, whoever come back, if we preach, why? He was so confident, Brother Amos, that what he had received was the original word of God. He said, if I even move off of it, don't even believe it. Oh, my brother, sister, there's where I want to hang my soul. I don't want to hang my soul on this man said this and that and said that and that and said that. Let me hang it on that original word. He associates himself with his colleagues, Barnabas, Silas, Peter, all of us. If we,
I love this in the Ephesian church age, I know you're familiar with it. Thou hast tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. My, that is a blunt statement. Thou hast tried them who call themselves apostles. Isn't that presumptuous? What right has a people to try those who call themselves apostles? How do you try them? He said, oh, I love this. Here it is, Galatians 1:8. But though we are an angel from heaven preaching the other gospel unto you than we've already preached unto you, let him be accursed. It was the apostles who brought the original word to the people. That original word could not change. God did not send Brother Branham in this day to change the original apostolic foundation of the church. God started out with preachers, and he'll end up with preachers. God started out with folks going to church, he'll end up with folks going to church. God started out with a new birth, he'll end up with a new birth. And they didn't preach just accept Christ as your Savior. They preached go down to the altar and stay there till you die and get born again. Praise the Lord. My. They were confident in what they said. That original word could not change. Not even a dot or a dash. Paul knew it was God who'd spoken to him. So he said, even if I come and try to give a second revelation, try to make one little change in what I gave originally, let me be accursed. Anathema. This is what the Greek word means. Anathema. Cursed by God. Can you imagine this man stands in this stead and said, a man who does this will be cursed by God. Anathema. You see, Paul knew that first revelation was correct. God can't give a first revelation and then a second revelation. If he did, he'd be changing his mind. He can give a revelation, then add to it. And the church said, oh, glory. And he did in the Garden of Eden when he promised the seed to the woman. Then later designated the seed to kind of come through Abraham. Now notice God cannot change his mind about his word. These people around the message that tell you, well, it started out with preachers, but going to end up with tapes, are liars and false prophets, and they're going to hell. You got God changing his mind about his word. Jesus didn't say these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall push play. They shall know how to push rewind and fast forward. Woo! Come on now, church. Mama. Amen. So God can give a revelation and then give more of that revelation and more of that revelation, but he cannot give a revelation here and then come back and say, uh-oh, I made a mistake. Now men can do that. That's why Brother Ram could say he believed the virgin birth. For early, early years of his ministry, he believed that Mary released the egg. They said later, you see what you'd have God doing if she did that? Why? That wasn't a revelation from God. Oh Lord, some of y'all grab your heart pills and your blood pressure pills. Come on. That's why he could call the Holy Ghost the third person of the Godhead in 1949. Why? What a revelation. But whatever was revelation in 47 wound up being revelation expanded in 65. You say, don't that stumble you? No, it don't. Because I'm not surprised that Brother Branham was a man. As a matter of fact, I'm glad he was a man. I couldn't follow an angel. I needed a man to follow. Hallelujah. An angel couldn't relate to the way I feel. He couldn't relate to the way I battle. So God sent me a Kentuckian to lead me back to eternity. Watch this. God's word can change. The seed came exactly as revealed. Hallelujah. And you see what those false apostles were doing? They came with their own word. Those Ephesians knew that word as Paul had taught it. They were full of the Holy Ghost by laying on of Paul's hands. Uh-oh, so Paul didn't give them a book and say, you're in a message now. They got the Holy Ghost the apostolic way. They laid hands on them. They looked those false apostles in the eye and said, you're not saying what Paul said. You are therefore false. Whoa. That's why I'm not ashamed to tell you men, these folks on their websites and all this bunch of lying nonsense they're doing, they're false. They're false and they better repent if they can, if it ain't done too late. Why? They're not saying what the Bible said. They're not saying what Brother Branham said. Brother Donnie, I can show you mistakes Brother Branham made. So? I've been preaching that for years. I made folks around the world mad for years and years because I preached Brother Branham was a man. Hey friends, don't blame me. I never made Brother Branham a man. God did. And his mom and daddy helped. Praise the Lord. But until you can produce at least one-tenth of what he produced, I'm not going to listen to your flapping jaws. How many dads been raised in your life? Do you live so close to God in your home that they think you're Jesus? Until you live like that, don't waste my time with your junk. And you foolish Galatians that listen to it, I feel sorry for you. My, it's wartime, children. I wish I could work in the kitchen and peel taters, but for whatever reason, the Lord put me up front to fight. Y'all gonna stand with me? Ain't no time to compromise. Ain't no time to compromise, Brother Bill. We gotta stand for what's true. Notice, my, Now, those folks didn't sit back and send them a letter, you know, with no name on it, but they walked right up in their face and said, "You're not saying what Paul said, therefore you're a liar." Oh, my. He said, "Oh, my, that sets my heart on fire. Get back to that word. It's not you that really tries the apostle and prophet and teacher. It is the word that tries them." One of these days there's going to come a prophet to the Laodicean church age, and you will know if he's the real one sent from God or not. Yes, you will. For he is of God. He will be in that word exactly as God gave it to Paul. He won't deviate from that word a moment, not by one iota. In the last days when there will be many false prophets appearing, oh my, watch and see how they will keep telling you that if you don't believe them and know what they say, you'll be lost. But when that last day prophet comes on the scene, if he is truly that prophet, he'll be crying out, "Get back to that word, or you're lost." He won't build on a prophet revelation or interpretation, but on the word. Aren't you glad you know who that prophet is? Woo! Praise the Lord.
You mean, Brother Donnie, you can still believe it through all the human things? I can.
Just like I can still believe Moses was a prophet of God, losing his temper and getting mad enough to throw the commandments down and bust them all to pieces. I can still believe Abraham was a prophet of God when he lied about his wife. You talking about a yellow coward. A man that would let another man take his wife and save his own skin. But you know what? He was still God's prophet. Amen. And God told the king, "You get him to pray for you or your whole nation's gone." Why? That backslid prophet had more power with God than that self-righteous Abimelech. Watch in verse 8, Paul says, "Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Brother, you're talking about a sign. What if some kind of supernatural being came down, just appeared out of nowhere, and started saying something contrary to this word? I know a woman many years ago in Pentecost. Probably the sign she's born under and the star. She was always the head of the home. One night in her bed, her and her husband was there together in the bedroom. According to her testimony, a light lit up in the corner of the room. An angel, she says, walked out of that light with a Bible in his hand. She was awakened, scared to death, frightened, handed her that Bible and said, "Preach the gospel." It was not her Bible. It was not her husband's Bible. They'd never seen the Bible before. So not only did this supernatural being appear, but a Bible appeared with him. Praise the Lord. Now for a lot of people, man, chills would run up and down their spine. Boy, some of you women would probably hit the floor, wouldn't you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me have that Bible. I'll tell Brother Donnie a thing or two. Glory to God. I'll feel the anointing all over me. That woman responded to that visitation and started preaching. My. You mean the devil can do that? Sure he can. He can appear as an angel of light himself. Praise the Lord. But you know what? A real true Christian, if that woman was really on the word, she went right back to 1 Timothy and said, "You are a lying spirit." Paul said, "I forbid a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man." But instead, she believed that supernatural experience. Threw her whole family out of continuity with God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh my, thank God, the real people of God, they're able to look beyond visitations and so-called supernatural. They look beyond signs and false apostles. If they don't go by with this word, they rebuke them. Right, church? It don't make no difference whose son they are. If they're the pastor's son, the deacon's son, the prophet's son, it don't really make no difference. Because God don't have no respect to person, just send her a message, folks. It is a sin to have respect to persons. God don't have it. The message don't have it. Come on now. My goodness. No wonder I was nervous about coming to church tonight. But though we are an angel from heaven. An angel from heaven? Preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached. Let him be accursed. Mama. A gospel that differs from that original word. If it's one iota off. He may have wings on his back, on his face, on his nose, on his feet. Rebuke him. Any of y'all ever seen an angel? What about a demon? It's frightening. It's frightening, very frightening. And the human part, if a supernatural being, and this is the thing, friend, demons did not lose that aura about them when they fell. I've dealt with many of them through the years. You've heard me tell the story before when I was up in Michigan preaching for a Church of God brother up there. Sleeping in his upstairs, and I was awakened in the night. And remember, I was in Pentecost then. I was awakened and felt real strange. And I looked at the end of my bed, and there stood a hooded being. Real dark cloak. Hood over his head like this. And his face was back in the hood. And I saw his eyes. And he walked up against the foot of the bed. I'm laying on my back. So I get up in the bed. Don't take my eyes off of him. And as he walked up against the bed and hit the bed moved, slammed against the wall. And I raised up, kept my eyes right on him and said, I've come to take your life. Well, I didn't know the prophet then. I didn't know the message. But I knew Jesus. Not in the way I know him now, and I guarantee you. But I knew him well enough to know he had given me power over demons. Come on now, don't get scared. You feel that scary feeling? Don't get scared. Oh my, he said, I've come again. Said it again. I've come to take your life. I said, Satan, you cannot take my life. Now remember, I didn't know the message. You cannot take my life till God is done with me. He hit against the bed again and come closer. And I pointed out my finger. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to go back to hell. And I watched him as he backed up. I said, in the name of Jesus, go back. Oh, Lord, I feel that anointing right here. Woo! Hallelujah! Let me tell you something, friend. That God was not just alive in Pentecost. He is alive right here tonight. That same Lord Jesus in his power is with this word. Glory to God! We're not serving a dead God or a creed! I watch him as he backed up. And he backed up. And he backed up and he disappeared into the darkness. I laid there till the wee hours of the morning, shaking, quivering. Scared and thankful. You ever been scared and thankful? I was thankful I knew my God was a living God. Ain't no question in my mind that devil come to take my life. I'm glad I knew him. Oh, glory to God. The message folks have done come way too late to tell me God don't speak to nobody no more. They've done come way too late to tell me that we don't have a living God. I believe that living God's right here in our presence tonight. He still casts out devils. He still heals the sick. He still ministers the gospel and brings freedom.
Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, and that which we have preached. Oh, but now wait a minute, Brother Donnie. You say, but you're a preacher. The Holy Ghost don't just protect preachers. I was in West Virginia one night, and there's a woman full of devils. About 5 or 6 people trying to cast them out of her and hold her down. Brother West, I was working with, called for Carol to come over. She came over, that woman laying on the floor. She reached up her hands just like this. The powers of demons, I mean 4 or 5 men couldn't even hold the woman down. She reached up for Carol's neck just like that, going to choke her. But she couldn't get her hands around her neck. It ain't just preacher protection. It's children of God protection. Hallelujah. This ain't just good for preachers. This is good for all God's children. This is on all of our insurance policies. Amen. It's on all of our insurance policies. Protection in the time of trouble. Paul said, if me or Peter or Silas or Barnabas or even an angel from heaven come preach another gospel unto you than that which you have preached unto you, let him be anathema. Right. Given over to judgments of God, he who corrupts divine truths is an enemy of God and is under the curse. Friends, this is serious stuff. Notice in verse 9, and he says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel. It seemed he repeated himself, but in actual reality he advanced his thought. Went on into the deeper sphere of it. If anybody's preaching another gospel, bringing another thought, he will come under the eternal separation of God. My. Can I read some more? Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Boy, preachers can be rough sometimes, can't they? Pulpit manners, I must have missed school that day and they handed them out. Etiquette, I must have missed that day too. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. How is that possible? This is not Jerusalem. How could Jesus Christ had have been set before them? By gifts. Now watch in Acts 14:1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Now this Iconium is in Galatia. Verse 3, long time before their abode, they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony to the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Now watch this. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with the rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe and the cities of Laconia, which is also Galatia. So it'd be like going to Kingsport, Bristol, Johnson City, Irwin, Elizabethton. But it's still in the state of Tennessee. Unto the region that lies round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, which is in Galatia, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. So now not only is he preaching the word, but he's discerning this man's heart and said, this man's got faith. Praise the Lord. This is what some of the Galatians saw. This is why he's so rebuking them. This is what they saw. This is what the church was established upon.
My, saying with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Oh my Lord. This man had never walked. He had been lame from his mother's womb. And Paul didn't pump up the music. They didn't have the organ going. But Paul spoke the word to him. And this man lay on that. Wow! Jumped up and took off. Leaped. He didn't just get up real slow, wobbly knee. Oh, somebody help him. Somebody help him. But man, he jumped out of there by the power of God.
And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia. Future message, folks.
The gods!
You can tell they're heathen because they believe more than one.
The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they call Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker.
Oh, how patient God is with his children. Friends, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would any of us be tonight? Now look, in some of these people right here lays the seed of God. But they're as heathen can. Can't you see? They're Gauls. They're Gauls. They're not Jews. The Jews would never believe such a thing. These are Gauls. So they come from the Gaelic, from the Celtic ways. They're part of the barbarian tribes. You remember that said in history? They're part of the barbarians. And look, when this comes into them, then they look and say, oh, oh my goodness, the gods have come down. The gods have come down.
The word Galatia, one of the meanings of it is unstable, unsettled. Insecure.
Even after they come to the message, where they lived had an influence on how they acted. That's why in order to complete my change, I got to change cities.
Notice this in verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra. And to Iconium and to Antioch. Verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Notice, add to the signs, add to the wonders, add to the conversion. Now they establish them in the truth. That we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Upon this basis, now Paul comes back 2 to 3 years. This letter is written from the city of Corinth. And he says, oh foolish Galatians. The Amplified Version says it this way. Oh, you poor and silly and thoughtless and unreflecting and senseless Galatians. The Complete Jewish Bible says it this way. You stupid Galatians. Who has put you under a spell? Before your very eyes, Yeshua. And the Messiah was clearly portrayed as having been put to death as a criminal. Darby says that, oh senseless Galatians, who has bewitched you? What a rebuke from this man of God that he would say, what your eyes have seen. And you are turning away from this truth. You have seen the living God. You have seen the power of God. You have seen the manifestation of God. And you're letting men lead you away by words. And you're following them. You don't demand no supernatural. You demand no vindication of God. And you are following them who has bewitched you. As if they were casting a spell. Abracadabra. Abracaclan. I'm here to tell you, Brother Branham was a man. Your spells have no effect on me. Brother Donnie, I can't find no records where 16 men fell off the bridge. Really?
I can't find no articles in history where they ever proved that Moses was up on Mount Nebo, but I believe he was. There ain't not another witness on the earth that can verify that God wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger. You got one man's word for it. You got one man's word for it that there was an ark. Any of y'all ever seen it? You ever sit down and try to calculate how big it has to be in order to get all the animals on there? Well, you'll wind yourself wide away from God. God is not known by facts. God is not known by science. God is not known by understanding. God is known by faith. Faith believes what you cannot explain. Faith don't have all the answers. It has the results. Praise God. Faith has results.
Foolish Galatians. Foolish Galatians. How sad. What was it? The world was creeping in. Discord, dissension, disputation. But to be honest with you, I'm glad the Holy Ghost had Paul to write about these things. We would have got the wrong impression. You see, many preachers that air their services, whether by internet or whatever more, if they have any problems in the church, they won't let you see them. Or they'll edit them. I know. They've told me themselves. Why? They don't want you to see that about their church. They don't want you to know their church is full of humans. But whatever I preach, you know it, and the world knows it if they want to know. So if we've got problems in here, they hear it. If they click, oh my. Praise the Lord. You know what? I don't want to send no false something other than we got a bunch of angels here at the church. Sometimes I'm convinced we do have angels, the kind that wear motorcycles. You know. Tattoos on their arms. Think of it, friends. Worldliness. When Satan gets on people to cause trouble, discord, dissension, raise questions about this and that and the other. Don't you see what it is? Worldliness. Their dress may be ever so long. The man may have a nice clean haircut. Don't smoke. His fingers ain't yellow. Never drinks. Never cusses. He can be under the anathema of God. You never find Paul saying that for a woman, cut your hair. But adding to the gospel. It's serious. That's why they linked it together when they'd say, Maranatha. Maranatha Thama. Cursed till our Lord comes. It's a serious thing what we do with this word. Be careful what you put on Facebook. Be careful putting this scripture with that one, with that one, with that one. Make sure you know what you're doing. I might read you an article that I read last week. I don't have it with me tonight. But from a psychologist and a psychiatrist that was saying he expects in the near future there will be thousands and thousands of lawsuits against Facebook. Because young, middle-aged, and adults are going to psychiatrists, psychologists, all kinds of people with all kinds of symptoms that Facebook is causing. And he's advising now the Surgeon General to put on Facebook's homepage some of the same wording that's on alcohol and cigarettes. I thought when I read that, well, some of the folks didn't listen to me. Maybe they'll listen to a psychiatrist. Don't you see what Satan's trying to do? Make every inroad that he can to use an individual, to your family, to our church. to our message. But for my part, I'm not this church, but for my part, I refuse as a pastor to let him destroy it. I refuse to sit around and let my land, which is my message, be ridiculed, made fun of, laughed at. I refuse to allow my prophet to be made fun of, criticized, call names, and hold my peace and be polite. When you talk about this message, you're talking about my land. When you're talking about this prophet, you're talking about my prophet. Behold, I send unto you. That's me in there. That's me. Praise the Lord. You appreciate His truth and His grace. Worldliness. Can't you see, friends, how church can look so godly on the outside and be eat up with this type of worldliness? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight, Father. We thank you for the correction of your word, Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask you that you'd help us. Lord, we never want to fight battles in the flesh. We know it's not flesh against flesh. It could have seemed as if though that Paul was attacking the Judaizers because they were attacking him. And probably some of the people really struggled in trying to understand. Is that him? Is that God? Is that... They must have really struggled with it. But no doubt the elect came out on the other side of the battle with the right understanding. We know even spirit-filled people can get caught up into things at times. But they won't stay caught up in it. They'll get straightened out if they're yours. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Dear God, that we can not only talk this truth, but walk it, live it, project it in such a way that we can be living oracles and witnesses of the power of God. Lord, I feel sorry for folks that have sat in a church where the power of God has moved. Many of those that have sat here and now they're backslid, gone to the world or whatever they're doing. They've seen you heal the sick. They've seen you cast out devils. They've seen you do all kinds of things. They'll be without excuse. It's not like they've sat in a church where they never saw one miracle. There are young people in this message that have never seen a miracle. They have never heard speaking in tongues. They have never seen the manifestation of the power of God. And we claim to be apostolic. Help us, Lord Jesus. But that is not so with those who've come to this place. And many others. We thank you for people that are still holding on. I wonder if we're not trying to introduce a new gospel, a powerless one, one that doesn't require a life, one that doesn't require as much contact with demons. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. Father, we don't want to go around looking for trouble, but if he crosses over on our property, he better watch his head because we're going to take it off. I've been serving you long enough to know, Lord, don't go out and start asking for it and going into his territory. But if he steps over on mine, he's crossed that no trespassing sign. He's in trouble. He's not in trouble with me. He's in trouble with the law, and you're the law. Lord, help us, I pray, to hold our inheritance to our children, our grandchildren, our walk with God, our joy, our peace. Help us, Lord, I pray. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Praise be to God. Hey, let's sing this little song together. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. How many still got some joy in your salvation? Praise God. Is it still joy unspeakable and full of glory? Is it a peace that passes all understanding? Yes, sir. If it ain't, we're falling short of what God wanted it to be. Oh my, let's not let the devil bewitch us. Let's not let all the worldlyism and all the things of dress and then the worldlyism of contention and all that sort of thing rob us. Let us not be bewitched. Remember, some of these are spirit-filled people. We look at it, Lord willing, in the morning. They had actually received the Holy Ghost. Paul tells them, did the Spirit come to you by the law? These people had actually received the Holy Ghost. Some of them had.
but they had moved under a bewitching sort of thing that had pulled them away, and they were merging together, and they were keeping Sabbath days and Jubilees and, you know, Pentecost and Feast of Tabernacles, and they were merging all of this together and thinking that it was adding to the gospel. Paul said, I never preached nothing like that to you. You don't need that. Stay away from it. Praise the Lord. You believe it? Let's sing it together. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory in the day is mine. I told Satan, let me be mine. Victory in the day is mine. Oh, joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy in the day is mine. Oh, I told that devil, let me be mine. Joy in the day. Let's sing it, church. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you tonight, Lord God. You're worthy. Thank you for the truth, Lord. Lord, don't just keep us from mini dresses and bobbed hair and all that, but keep us from the worldliness of dissension. Keep us from the worldliness of corrupt doctrine, Lord. Keep us from the worldliness of another gospel. Grant me, Lord, we don't want to be anathema, cursed in the sight of God. Lord, what a thing it must have been for Paul. How difficult it must have been for him to put the curse on them false apostles. He must have battled it and warred and wrestled and wrestled. He must have really moved on his heart to put the anathema on them. And you'll recognize it. Lord, help us. I know the day is approaching, Lord God, when Ananias and Sapphira will return, and they were part of the message move. Help us, I pray, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, we don't want no curse on us. But you said, behold, I send to you Elijah the prophet, except God would curse the earth. But one thing that kept him from cursing it was the return of the Elijah ministry. Thank you, Lord. And you'll turn the hearts of the children back to the apostolic fathers. You said it yourself, Lord Jesus. Truly, Elias shall first come and restore all things. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, oh God. We're so grateful. We love you with all of our hearts. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can't you see why I'm happy? Oh, I'm excited.
Yes, Lord. A Malachi fold. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, can't you see
why the sun will ride around the world and she's still happy? Yeah. I've accepted
'65, Brother Branham was going through a trying time in his life. He kept having dreams about being back at the public service company. And he kept wondering and pondering, Lord, have I done something wrong? Have I done something wrong? And he turned in so much money when he worked there years and years before. And he'd buy the little poor children breakfast. And he thought, Lord, have I done something wrong? He had all the bill money where he's going around collecting bills in this dream. And he went down swimming. He said, I think I'll just go swimming. He said he got out there and went swimming, took his money out and put his money in with the public service company. He said, now look what you've done. And he said, in the dream, he said, this ain't right. They're paying me to be working. Here I am out here swimming. Then he got out and said, now look, I've got all the money messed up. Now remember, it's a dream. And he said, he told the wife, he said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I keep dreaming about that public service coming. And he said, Lord, I don't know what's wrong. And he said, now I don't advise you to do this. He said, but I told him, I took my Bible. He said, now Lord, if there's somebody that's been through a trial or been through something like what I've been through, let me open up in the Bible and read about it. Genesis 24. Eliezer being sent to get a bride for Isaac. He changed service companies. Now he's working for the Eternal Power Company. Y'all needed to be hooked up. We needed a man that knew how to run service lines. We had our minds all muddled up with tradition, all muddled up with all kinds of theory.
Oh, glory. Praise God. Aren't you glad God sent us an Eliezer? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let people fall out of love with it. Let them turn away. That ain't my cry. My cry is, Eliezer, tell me more. Maybe you're getting tired of hearing these tapes. I sure ain't. I listen to them over and over. Sometimes I'm down in the basement. I'll start at 6:30 in the morning, 7, whatever time. I'll listen to it through noon, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, rock. My name's on the book, brother. I'm fixing to rock out of here. I'll tell you one thing. It ain't old man to me. I'm feeding by the Holy Ghost. Come on, children. Oh, I'm getting tired of hearing it. Apparently, it ain't fresh to you. Apparently it ain't fresh to you. You get back there in that hidden place of God and you'll realize it gives you power over the enemy. Amen.
God bless you. Let's pray over all these prayer cloths. Margaret Peters with cancer. Ted Booker with cancer. Ronald McKinney with cancer. All three of them. And then we have another request here tonight. How many believes our God's a healer?
Amen.
Now, I'm no apostle. I'm no great person. You're no great person. But they took from the body of the anointed men of God, and demons left them. The sick were healed. You believe your God's still that same one tonight? Or has he lost any power? Is he watered down? Of course he ain't. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, it just broke my heart when I read this. Dear God, Sister Louise McKinney, Senator, Brother J.D., Lord, all these people with this cancer and just finding it out, all of them together, basically. Dear God, I pray for your mercy. Heavenly Father, it's rampant in the world that we live. No doubt man is causing a lot of it. Lord, as I read it the other day where they found 98 different shampoos and soaps that we use every day which have cancer-causing agents in them. Lord, help us. Deliver us from this age, Lord. Deliver us from this sinful world that we're in, that science and education is what's killing us, Lord God. I pray, Father, for these people. Lord, maybe others here tonight have needs. Maybe those streaming the service. May the presence of God go right there in their homes, Lord. Heal the sick, Lord God. Encourage those that are down, Father. Those that are oppressed of the enemy. May the Holy Ghost go right through the internet, the invisible airwaves, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, bring deliverance to your children, Lord. We believe it tonight, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
So be it. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. God bless you, service in the morning. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. He's saving me. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Banishes my sadness.